Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Jim Toronto. And Kristen McQuarrie joins us right now from the Chicago Tribune. First of all, thank you for being here, Kristen. It's always fun to talk to you. Really appreciate this. There's a lot going on politically. Let's start with some of the political stories. Number one.
First, you can swallow whatever you're eating.
I'm having a mint.
Okay. He's having a mint, so he has nice, fresh breath for you, Jim.
I never know when Jim's going to give me a smooch during the show, so I like my breath.
I do appreciate it. I've got some Trident for after the show.
This was a story that was breaking. I was on vacation last week, but as we were leaving on Wednesday, this was becoming a story, and I followed it a little bit, but I don't know all the ins and outs. So I know that Donald Trump is having a war with the hosts of Morning Joe on MSNBC, mm-hmm. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. I don't know what caused it. I don't know why it escalated so quickly. I know he said some bad things about them. What exactly went on there?
Well, you summarized it pretty well. The president, you know, he's probably the most undisciplined person you could possibly meet. And he tweeted something.
Know me. Right.
Let's go with the second most undisciplined person.
Second most undisciplined person.
Right.
He felt like Morning Joe was being tough on him. So what is his reaction? He goes to Twitter. He talks about Mika, one of the hosts. Is it Mika or Micah?
I think it's Mika
Brzezinski.
At one point, wanting to come to Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve, but he didn't want her to come because she had a facelift and she was bleeding all over the place.
Part true? Did she have a facelift? Was she bleeding? Or is that just something he thought?
You know what? That was my first question, too. She had some work done, but no. She
did admit that she, on the other day when they made a comment, she did then admit now that she just had some chin work.
Yeah. She had some chin work, yeah. Right.
But he didn't say, you can't come to my Mar-a-Lago resort because your face is bleeding.
No,
right?
I guess he sort of did.
Oh,
or
did?
She claims that they never asked for an invitation, yeah. And who knows. And then it turned into this, of course, big deal where women were speaking out again because he can't seem to disagree with women or the show in particular without commenting on their appearance. So then it turned into a big thing. And I think today he did something on Twitter where he fake wrestles or punches out a CNN.
Well, that was from his wrestling days, and they photoshopped,
they photoshopped in it.
The CNN logo where a guy's face was. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, just another day in the USA. With this guy on Twitter.
Now, in the past, presidents have either been too busy or too important to bother with things like this. But this seems to be an everyday occurrence with him where he finds something or somebody and just goes off on them. Why? Why waste his time with that? Why waste any of our time with that?
I think two things. And one, we're not going to see change. I mean, he's been doing this since the campaign trail, saying crazy things. And he sees it, number one, as, you know, trying to get past the media filter and speaking directly to his people.
Yeah.
They love it. I mean, his base is actually more loyal to him now than they were when he was first inaugurated. So to him, it's a political win. Also, I just think he can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's a really immature, sophomoric person when he feels attacked. And so that's his way of getting back. And he did it again. And it's just silly.
In all these tweets, he always throws in these little brief asides where he'll mention, like if he's mentioning the show, he'll mention that the ratings aren't good or they're going down, or that he says can't watch it anymore or something like that.
He said the low-rated.
Low-rated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He always takes those little extra digs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It honestly seems like something a child would put, not the guy who's the most important person on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Worse. I mean, even my children, I teach them not to say things like that.
Yeah.
It does have legs, though, because now you have memes going out about, you know, retweet if you think CNN is unreliable. Retweet if you think CNN stinks and all this kind of. And it is kind of digging. CNN is having great ratings because of this. But
now,
you're
on MSNBC, right?
Yeah.
Like the CNN.
I'm sorry,
guy that he was wrestling.
Yes,
but Morning Joe is MSNBC.
Morning Joe is MSNBC, which is a more left-leaning outlet.
Yeah.
I think MSNBC came about after Fox News was created.
Although Scarborough himself is a Republican and tended to go to the right, not so much with Trump.
But they have, I mean, they have been very, and they even, when they came on to do their kind of, you know, our comment on it, they did say, you know, we have been tough on him. They didn't shy away from it,
right?
And there's you've been saying, Chris, there's some underlying thing between these. I don't know what it is, and no one wants to say it or it exists. But this isn't just about what's on the air. There's something behind the scenes here.
I think Trump thought they were all kind of his buddies.
Well, they were initially,
and they were.
They were.
I think a lot of media, especially in broadcast, they sort of like having that buddy persona with elected officials.
Well, if you think about it, he was always calling into their show
in the early days
election.
Of his campaign.
Exactly.
He was
so they liked
on.
It because he was getting them ratings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know,
I mean, they're not you know, not to blame for some of this too, in on the side trying to treat him as a friend and being friendly to him and like you're saying, taking calls and kind of lifting his profile during the campaign. Then when you find out maybe they were trying to get an invitation to, you know, he's gonna
right.
he's gonna bite back
right.
at the media. So
she was the first one I remember who, a lot of people were thinking this, but nobody was saying this out loud. We need to be concerned with his mental stability.
Oh, like she's
everybody
been saying
was
that
thinking
quite
that,
a bit.
But she has, yeah,
oh, yeah.
She was the one who was at the forefront of saying
well,
it out loud.
And like over the last several weeks, because I watched The Morning Joe quite a bit, he's been, you know, when Steve Bannon has taken a higher profile, he's been saying President Bannon.
Oh, has he really? Yeah.
So, I mean, they've yeah. been.
They're provoking.
They've
him.
Been.
They're
they've
picking
been.
At him.
Now,
yeah.
the funny thing is that she even said, I'm surprised how easily he's played.
Oh,
which
right.
I found that an interesting comment because it almost sounds like. They are admitting that they're playing him.
Right. Well, he's really thin-skinned. And if you look back, none of this should surprise us. You know, I feel like when the presidential campaign during the primary came down to, and I think it was an actual question during one of the debates, this, you know, Marco Rubio made fun of the size of Trump's hands.
Right.
As a you know, right. we're talking about anatomy. And from that moment on, I thought it's going to be downhill from here.
Yeah.
And it has. It's just been really sophomoric. It's the only word I can think of that.
Is it legit? You mentioned that women's groups have taken special offense to this because of the things he has said about Mika Brzezinski. Without a doubt, he does focus on women's looks and sometimes their IQ, but he does do that with guys too.
He does. I mean, he
maybe
certainly
not as much.
He certainly
but he
made fun of Rubio, Rand Paul,
yeah.
Chris Christie. You know, he's just a shallow guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably across the board,
yeah.
male and female. But he does have this issue where if you're not he has to always comment on how women look, and you know, it's irritating.
Well, he yeah. did own the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Right. Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah. We know about all of his. Yeah. He would stop in suddenly when they were changing into the bikini
yeah.
part. Of, oh goodness.
Yep.
Here's a view. A visit from our sponsor.
And Harry Truman never did that. Not even once. Come on. He must have done
he
that
was
once.
Just rumored to be in Atlantic City.
Right.
We don't know if he actually went to the Miss America pageant.
Right.
I don't. No, I'll look it up for
all right,
you,
see,
Bill.
See if you can find, because I'm pretty sure he must have.
He and Bert Parks are big buddies.
Right.
That has to be true. All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's a lot more to discuss with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, we're easy to reach at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill Leff and Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. Eventually, they will sing the words "No Sugar Tonight."
You have to wait
a while.
This will
all make sense.
I just sit through an ad, so
that's
all right. Cue it up.
That's all right. We'll get to this later. I'll call everybody personally and tell them this is the part of the song you want to hear where they sing "No Sugar Tonight." Kristen McQuarrie is here. She is joining Jim Toronto and myself. We're discussing a couple of things politically that are going on. Number one, the other day was supposed to be the day that there'd be a sugar tax. Applied to any sugary beverage in
you could
Cook
have played
County.
The Archies.
Could have also played Sugar Sugar. We could have. But there's been a stay of execution in this. What exactly happened, Kristen?
Yes, it sounds so dramatic when you say this.
Yeah,
stay of execution.
Stay of execution.
There is a challenge to the tax because the retailers who have to enforce it say
yeah.
it is unconstitutionally vague because something, you know, you could get like a Frappuccino and that would not be taxed,
right.
but you couldn't get a Diet Coke and it would be taxed. The judge agreed. And so now they have, I think, 28 days to try to appeal her ruling and convince her that it is not unconstitutionally vague.
Yeah.
Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, says this money is absolutely necessary to balance the budget. But it's interesting to me, we have an income tax being debated in Springfield of about 32% per year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what is sort of waking people up is, wait, you're going to tax sugary beverages to the extent that they're going to tax them, which is, I don't usually buy just, you know, on the go one Diet Coke, but
right.
I'll buy a case
yeah.
or two 12 packs. And the cost just on that, if you buy a case of Diet Coke, Four extra dollars.
It's a penny an ounce for every ounce of beverage.
Yes. So it's dramatic. It's noticeable. And that is just the tax that's going to Cook County. Soda is also taxed in the city.
Right.
Yeah.
The city has a higher sales tax overall than at really any place else in the country.
How could JoJo,
the mascot, the mutual mascot.
How could you have a sale on a 2-liter bottle of Coke or whatever for like for a dollar sometime?
Right.
How many ounces are into 2 liters? It's going to be $4 again.
Yeah.
Right.
They got to start at -7
to break even.
And I think Tony Preckwinkle thought this was going to be an easy sell because people would rather do this than have their property taxes raised or something else.
Oh, they'll still raise the property taxes.
Right, exactly. Well, they find a way to nickel and dime you no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's the fact, I think, that it hits all, you know, supposedly it's for health benefits, but it hits Snapple, diet drinks, low-calorie beverages.
Right.
Feels a lot like they threw spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
And people are kind of...
But how is this unconstitutional? I mean, they're saying it's unconstitutional. I don't know if it violates the Mountain Dew process of law, but I had to look at
it. It doesn't seem...
Yeah, I like it. I like that you worked it in there.
I don't know if it's unconstitutional. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch, but it just seems like bad business.
It's a money grab.
Yeah, it is a money grab.
Because they're trying, as you said, they're trying to cloak this in a health benefit.
Yeah. Right.
Part of it is there's something called SNAP, which is the welfare kind of.
Right. It's,
and that's exempt.
Right.
And so, as studies have shown, people with low income are people that consume a lot of pop.
Right, sure.
So they're not going to be, they're not going to have that tax.
They're not going to be taxed.
So how is this helping them from a health benefit?
Right. Well, the health benefit part is just, it's so obvious that I think that's another reason people are upset. You can still get donuts.
Right.
And you can still, you know, buy all this other food that's really, really bad for you. To me, it's just another way that government is just trying to reach into your pocket and not have to make tougher decisions like reducing spending or not approving such generous labor agreements that far outpace the cost of living that now we're stuck with, or borrowing money to build new and shiny objects when we're struggling to pay day-to-day
bills. Why is a property tax this so sacrosanct? Why is it so that that's the one tax, you know, Daley never wanted to, we'd have to raise taxes. Yeah, but you borrowed out the yin-yang in order to have a balanced budget.
Yeah.
They don't want to touch that. Why is that? Is that because that number, you know, that gets mailed to your house and you see that number, or?
It's one of the most regressive taxes that government imposes on you is the property tax. And so in a lot of communities where you have a lower mortgage, you're paying almost double in property taxes now. And there's so many reasons for that. I'd have to come back. But the state has been so negligent in keeping up with the cost of schools. So the schools keep raising their levies and spending more and more money. And property taxes are taxing people out of their homes. It's a more offensive tax. I think that's what the politicians think. Whereas I think if you just raised it a little bit and it's a constant source of revenue, it would make more sense than let's raise cigarettes.
Right.
'Cause, you know, those tended to be safer choices.
The vice tax.
The vice tax. But now we're seeing with sweetened beverage, it's not the case.
Hits everybody's life.
Right.
Pretty much everybody. Not everybody, but almost everybody.
I mean, you know.
In Evanston, the thing that we have going is Northwestern keeps buying up more and more property. So every time Northwestern buys a building, which happens all the time, the tax base, the rest of us who do pay taxes because Northwestern doesn't have to pay any taxes, we have to absorb that.
Right.
So our taxes, which were already either the highest or the second highest in the state, keep going up and up and up. And they always send you that thing that you can appeal them.
Right.
And then you sit in a room and they laugh at you. They just go, yeah, we're going to make these lower. And then you leave the room and that's the end of it. It's obscene.
It is. You also have a really expensive school district in Evanston.
Yeah.
It's great. You have really good outcomes with kids. But I would wonder whether Evanston, given the stability of the community, whether do you really need to be spending $18,000 or $19,000 per kid?
Right.
Do you really need to be approving teacher contracts that, like I said, far outpace? All of that adds up. And so I think that's what we're seeing is sort of a pushback with property taxes in particular.
Do you think that, say this pop tax goes through, do you think this hurts Preckwinkle in terms of an election?
You know, maybe a little bit, but she's still a couple years out from having to run again. And it's not, as far as like offensive tax and spend policies go, she's been pretty good about keeping Cook County from spiraling out of
control. But a savvy opponent could play this against her.
That's what I mean.
A savvy opponent could just keep mentioning this over and over and over.
She raised the sales tax, though, last time around.
Yeah.
After she rolled it back.
And she ran against Todd Stroger when he raised it to 10%.
He raised it up, and then she lowered it, then she raised it again. So, there, you know, voters have short memories. I don't know that this is going
to
be.
I'm voting for JoJo the Jewel Master.
To your point, though, if I was running against her, I would
play that up like crazy.
I would just, I would have in my commercials, I would have a Coke can next to me and a Pepsi. I mean, I'd be surrounded by cans, and they would all be putting their fingers down.
I'm voting for D's Nuts.
D's Nuts is a good candidate.
Don't just D's Nuts.
Anything can happen.
Well, I'm so mad. I just got into pop. I've never drank pop.
What do you mean?
Till like 4 months ago, I found Sprecher's grape soda, and now I have to spend, you know, 16 cents per bottle.
Oh, that is terrible for you, though.
I just had to co-sign a bank loan for Jim so he could buy a bottle of pop.
I just got into pop.
I never was really a pop drinker.
Yeah,
and then like 4 months ago, I discovered this great pop.
But that's what you chose.
Good timing.
Huh.
Yes, I did.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. Grape
makes sense.
Pop.
Grape soda.
As goofy as the politics is here in Illinois, in New Jersey, it is equally as goofy.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Chris Christie and his day at the beach.
Oh, I love this story.
This is great.
I love this story. So they're having a budget fight, too. Same situation here almost with a Republican governor, a democratically controlled House. And he's fighting. Chris Christie is fighting on his way out the door, by the way. He's almost done being governor with the House Speaker. So they were fighting over a budget and something seems sort of workable, trying to do something with insurance. Because they couldn't come to an agreement, Chris Christie shut down state government.
Yeah.
That kicked in on Saturday. People were a little taken aback. Beaches were closed. State parks were closed. State workers were not really working. You couldn't renew your driver's license. And then wouldn't you know it, on the beachfront property that is part of, I guess, the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're governor, you get this beachfront property. Chris Christie is out there in his glory with his family yesterday, sitting on a beach chair. The beach is empty because it's closed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he and his family are getting to enjoy the beach. And of course, some helicopter got a perfect shot.
Perfect.
And then rather than just admit, yeah, this kind of looks bad, he doubles down and says, well, if you want to have it, then you be governor. You know, he does not wrong answer, just basically defends the fact that he got to have the beach to himself.
And he's usually more savvy than that.
Slightly more savvy, not always, but
slightly
more.
No, but I mean, you'd think that at this point, if you run for president, you got to be very, you know, cognizant of the visuals.
Yeah.
And that's not a good visual.
No.
But in many ways.
In many ways, especially him in a beach chair, I saw it.
I'm not going to say all politicians.
The poor beach
chair. There's a good share of politicians who believe that the rules they create don't apply to them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of this.
Perfect example of that. Yeah. I think also he only has a few more months to the end of his term. The presidential campaign thing didn't work out. So he's just kind of letting loose.
Yeah.
He's just saying whatever.
But just sit on the deck.
Right.
Don't go on the beach.
Right.
Don't go on the beach.
The
key.
The deck was beautiful.
Yeah.
The deck is gorgeous. They could have just, he could have gone out and flipped some burgers on the deck.
10 feet.
Exactly. No, he's in a chair.
Right.
The beach is empty except for maybe 20 members of his family.
Oh.
And they're playing paddleball.
Sure.
And enjoying. He's in a baseball cap. And at first he lied about it too. The reporter said, oh, did you get some sun yesterday? And he said, no, I didn't get any sun.
Oh.
Then when the photos came
out,
his staff said, well, he meant he didn't get any sun because he was wearing a cap.
This
is bad.
Well played, Mr. Christie.
Yeah.
We don't have a whole lot of time for this, and this is a topic we could discuss forever, but are we any closer on a budget, or is that just a thing of the past? Is there going to be an Illinois state budget, or is that just impossible?
Well, as we speak, the Illinois Senate is coming in. They are supposed to sign off on what the Illinois House did yesterday, which is a budget that includes a tax hike. I think they will probably approve it and send it off to the governor. The governor has already said he will veto it.
Yeah.
So they either come back and try to override his veto, or we just witness further collapse and we get downgraded. And we'll know all of this within probably the next 24 to 48
and
hours.
And once we do get downgraded, what exactly does that mean? I kind of understand it, but I'm not in full understanding. Let's say we're downgraded, and that's probably what's going to happen. What does that mean?
It means the markets are closed to us. It means that finally someone has said, we're not extending any more money to you. So all the times that Illinois goes into the bond market, which is a lot.
Yeah.
We don't realize it, but maybe every 6 weeks, every 2 months, Illinois sells bonds for something, for a project we approved 2 years ago, for money to make day-to-day operations work. We borrow money a lot.
Yeah.
And the markets would say, you're too much of a risk.
Wow.
So it really kind of tightens.
Has that happened to us before?
No, it's happened to no state in the history of the United States.
We're number one.
We're number one.
We're number one.
That's how bad we are.
We're number one. Land of Lincoln.
Yep. No other state has ever been downgraded to junk bond status.
That should be, we were talking about the new Illinois state license plates and what should be on them. It should just be a guy with his pockets empty, just looking towards the camera.
No, Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry?
Right. That's what it should be.
Oh, so many options there.
Yeah.
I have to think about that.
Kristen, thank you so much.
Thanks
Always
for having
fun
me.
To talk to you. Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune.